Hey everybody, welcome to your Friday episode of your favorite podcast, Crossover Edition, All Eyes on Cleveland with Brad Ward, and I am your host, Jake Burns of OBR Film Breakdown. We're excited to have you in today. We're excited because there's some resolution to what has been ongoing for what seems like ages. It had started in mid-March, and we are finally reaching what is a culmination of some, just some lengthy issues that needed to be resolved. And I was unsure, especially when the trade started with Watson, we were all unsure if the NFL's resolution would come before the season period and it would have to be punted down the line because there were hard out dates in the court and then the settlements happened and all of that stuff. And we have seemed to have finally hit the culmination of all of this, which is a decision from the NFL. Not that everything is fixed or solved. I do not want to paint that picture, but we have an answer on what our football season looks like. And at the core of what you are doing and what I am doing, we are just trying to enjoy football. We just want to watch football. We want to consume it. We want to enjoy the season that comes around once a year. And we have spent way too much time as a collective group talking about whether a guy's going to play or not, talking about court things that we should not have to think about, angles of the NFL's collective bargaining agreement and the personal conduct policy. And we're here to put that all to bed today. We're going to talk about Deshaun Watson and the court and the NFL's decision for the last time because it has reached a final stepping point unless something unforeseen and unbelievable happens. There will not be another tie-in to a suspension issue. There will not be another change to this issue. So we will lay this to bed and then continue in the coming days, weeks, and months to just cover your football team because, again, that is what the contract tells me to do is cover the football team. That's what I want to do most. But we would be remiss if we did not talk about the decisions surrounding important parts of the Browns organization, and we have to at least cover the topic. So we will do that today, and then we will scatter forward, move on, and cover the Eagles-Browns joint practices tomorrow, and then obviously into the weekend cover the Browns 1 o'clock kick on Sunday against the Eagles, which is going to be, it seems like, a backup fest from Cleveland at this point. But anyway, let's jump into the topic, Brad. The NFL comes down today and says that they have reached a joint agreement, a settlement with the NFLPA on a decision to suspend Deshaun Watson for 11 games. And then on top of that, a $5 million fine. Seems like originally the NFL wanted an indefinite one-year suspension. Watson was okay with the six-game suspension. This is some sort of a middle ground. And it's not altogether unexpected, but nonetheless, there are some interesting caveats to all of this. I will let you give me your reaction, whether you thought it was going to be a whole year, a minimum of 12 or more. Like, just curious, your original, you saw the announcement, which came from a really weird Twitter account that had very few followers that, like, Pro Football Talk confirmed before we even got the NFL's official letter boys, Rappaport and Schefter, tweeting about it. But nonetheless, that was an official release. So maybe this person just found it before anybody else. And curious, Brad, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think they accidentally leaked it to the NFL communications page or something, something to that effect. Anyways, yeah, I mean, I'm a little surprised, actually. I thought it was going to be a year. I'd kind of written it off to a year, to be honest, Jake. And then in the past few, just in the past, 48 hours or so, we started to hear these rumblings of settlement again. And I didn't know, like, how much the NFL didn't want to go to court, right? But you got to think that owners, Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, the guys that were drug into this mess in the Sue Robinson trial, they didn't want to go through this anymore, right? They didn't want to get their names drug up in court anymore. So that pressure probably got applied to Goodell and the NFL and leaked down to Peter C. Harvey, is that right? I guess we're using middle initials on all these important folks now.
Mina Kimes made a good joke that it seems like only Disney stars and serial killers have the initial in the middle of their name. It's like, it's so weird to see these people. It's like, what do you have an initial, man? But anyway, go ahead.
I don't know. Sue L. Robinson, Peter C. Harvey, right? So if you're, So, it sounded like Harvey didn't want to rule. He wanted them to come to a settlement. So, to keep this basically out of court, the NFL moved off their year, right? They moved off. I mean, we heard Goodell come out and say it at the owners' meetings, right? Like, that he wanted to hit him with the year. So he moved off of that probably from some pressure from owners around the league, right, to get this done and not have to drag it to court. And in order to keep it out of the court, he was able to lower this down to 11 games and $5 million. I thought the money would be higher if they did move off of it. I'm surprised it's only $5 million. And I'm actually surprised they got anywhere below 12, to be honest. So I think if you're Watson, this outcome is a win.
Yeah, I think you can say that for him personally. Yeah,
personally.
I think there are layers to some things here that I know you are going to go into and we'll dive into here. But like, I think what's interesting is that the talking point, okay, why couldn't this be reached quicker, right? The days, immediate days after. I think the thing that was argued, and I really would not be surprised, when it was announced, the thing that was most interesting was that it was not a 12-game suspension, and he gets to make his debut in the Houston game. That was supposed to be some gigantic NFL sticking point. So I do wonder if his side, the NFLPA, said, we're not doing that. We want to go to Houston and play and beat them. There's something personal there for him, because otherwise the Browns don't go to Houston, potentially, unless they fall into the same place in the division. There's not a true crossover there for a bit, I don't think. I could be wrong on that, actually. But nonetheless, I think that he wanted to play that game, and I think the NFLPA stood on his request, and it feels like a sticking point that the NFL might have given in to, at least, you know, because if the NFL is getting their way, they would have gotten that game too. But, you know,
sure,
it's a lot there. He probably wants to play it, and I'm sure they're not going to hate the ratings that come with that game. So,
no.
That stood out to me above a lot of them. The fine could have been infinity. It shouldn't have mattered, but maybe to Watson's camp it would have.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have mattered. But to your point, 11 games is a win. You know, I've got a thing, Brad, like I don't understand these people, and maybe I'm just stupid, and that's possible. I'm just stupid. It's really it's a very interesting outcome
for my life when
I think about it. Like, they keep talking about this contract tolling, and I'm like, who cares? He's going to sign 2 to 3 more deals in Cleveland. He's
sure
made this well known. I guess in your own set of circumstances here, the Browns fall apart and he wants to get out of Cleveland and he can find a way out of Cleveland, and Cleveland doesn't get the 5 very complete years. But like, to me, he's been pretty clear from the jump. He wants to finish his career in Cleveland, and they took the chance on him, and there should be a ton of respect from his side that Cleveland is doing this, taking him in. So, like, being worried about the contract not tolling over to the next year and him only getting 6 games for a 1 year of the contract, like, he's going to restructure that deal, and then he's going to get another deal and another deal. So why are we wasting breath on how many games of the 5-year deal he originally signs here are going to be played? Like, it seems like such a waste of energy. So that part of it was like a talking point that came out today where I'm like, why do you care? Like, to me, getting him on the football field acclimated to A, Cleveland in December,
yep,
B, some important division opponents on the schedule at that point, and B, just getting him on the field, period, from a football standpoint. He has not been on the field in forever. And you can tell me all you want about how practice makes you ready for the – nothing makes you ready for NFL games like playing NFL games. You have to get in there and have the bullets flying to be ready for what's to come. And him missing an entire straight second season is crazy. Like, he gets to come back in November. He gets to prepare and then be ready for December. And he gets 6 weeks of football. That will matter for getting him back to the Deshaun Watson that people know as far as on the field. So I think it's just really strange that some folks were like, well, this actually hurts the Browns instead of helps them. And I just don't even remotely understand how that could be the case in terms of maximizing player ability and what you're getting here.
Yeah, I guess that I don't think it – when people talk about the contract tolling, I never thought of it as like how long he's going to be in Cleveland, like, oh, they need a guaranteed 5 years. I thought of it as in an effect on the salary cap, right? So like, if you're going to give him 12 games and whatever, maybe you would just rather have it be a year and have it toll whatever. But I get it. Like, to me, 12 to 11 is actually a pretty big deal. And he gets to return to the building week 6. And he fits to finish out training camp. So I take this as a huge win. Like, for the football side of things for the Browns, he's going to play 6 games. He gets to finish training camp and the preseason. Even if he's not taking all the reps, he's watching, he's there. He gets to return before, you know, week six, get acclimated again, you actually get on the field, as you said, for six weeks. 6 weeks is over two-thirds of the season, Jake, and or over a third of the season, pardon me. I spoke backwards there because I'm an idiot. But over a third of the season, and to me, that's enough. Like, that makes a big deal. Like, six games of Deshaun Watson is a lot.
Could change their season outcome, Brad.
Yes.
They could be 6-5, 5-6, and they were hunting around 500 for a division title and playoff berth all the way until the very end last year. So it could be the difference. Like, I might not be galaxy-brained enough to understand the people who would have rather him been suspended if he didn't get 10 games or less. Would have rather him been suspended for the whole year. And I'm not arguing what was right or wrong in the suspension. I'm just talking about the NFL's decision and how that impacted the Browns. So nonetheless, talking about whether Deshaun won that or not, we're going to take a quick break, word from our sponsors, and then we'll dive into whatever the hell that press conference was today. So we'll be right back.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So the Browns decide to do this. Like, I'm not a PR guy. Didn't major in it. Didn't even take an elective in that coming up through college. I don't know. You know, textbook A from textbook B about this stuff. But to me, this was interesting. And I mean bizarre interesting because, okay, we get this interview with Aditi last week where he sounds for the first time like there's some genuine remorse and genuine understanding of the impact he has had on people. And it felt like he did not clarify at the time, but it felt like he was apologizing to the women he impacted. The specific 25 women who have been involved in cases against him. Now, there was gray area, but I chose to read that as it sounded like he was on a path to saying, I made a mistake and I'm trying to figure out how to fix it. But today happens, and my gosh, he goes up there and says, again, I stand on my innocence. He says other things, including, I'm apologizing to all women, everyone out there who this impacted, or even said the word triggered. The interview today, he said, I'm innocent. The settlements do not tell you that I am guilty. A part of the whole deal here with the NFL was remorse.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tend, Brad, just to see the good in people. I just do. I'm a glass half full person. I have this theory of energy givers and takers. I think you and I have talked about that on this when we've crossed over. And,
yes.
I tend to just remain positive as best I can, even when life throws curveballs at me. Like, it's just what I try to do. And I always look at it from that sort of scope. But today was just back to where we were at the start. And like, I listen, if you could have done it. He did release a statement, and the Browns released a statement. They didn't have to put him up in front of the media today. And if you were going to do that, could you have done a video where he controlled what he said and it came off right? Or B, if you were going to put him in front of the press, what was the collective understanding of what he was going to say to people in this interview? Like, I have genuine questions for the Browns PR staff. So, okay, he's claiming to be innocent again. He has no specific remorse for the ladies and the women in this situation who have come after him. And again, you don't have to admit you're guilty. I understand there's one civil case out there, still remaining out there. It's active, and that might be tying up some of his language. But you can go up there, Brad, and say, hey, I don't think I did anything wrong. But having seen the opinion and the story of the women involved in this, I now see that their perspective, and I understand it. I understand my actions and how my actions can be perceived. And I understand the importance of every single action I have, and I'm going to work on that going forward. And if that was what he said, it would have been fine. But he did not do that. He double, tripled down. I want to move on with my life. I've got to move on. And while that's true, you have to take accountability. The whole thing about the suspension and all of this, and even from the NFL side, is that he's going to take accountability, show remorse, and do what he needs to do to better himself, to not put himself in this situation anymore. I got none of those vibes. Now, you, again, come with your perspective, because it might not be the same for me. I got the vibe of, hey, I got the suspension I got handed. I'm going to say what I think I need to say now that this is over. I'm going to say what I've been saying all along, which is I had no intention. I have not sexually abused anybody, and I did not inflict anything wrong, essentially, on these women. And, like, again, man, I got to say it. I have made a mistake in my life. I've been there. I've been down that path, and you can come back. Like, people are willing to forgive you if you show remorse, if you show that you're trying to better yourself and your actions align with the things that you're trying to come back from. And like with Watson, I'm really concerned. I'm really concerned that this is who he is. He doesn't think he did anything wrong, and maybe he didn't, but the way that they're not telling his story about how this is misconceived and what's going on and how these women are lying, essentially. And he said again today, I will give him one shred of future benefit. He said today, again, I will tell my story at some point. When that is, or if it's just like a Players Tribune piece that comes out of nowhere, I don't know. But nonetheless, like, I thought today was mind blowing. Like, people forgave Mike Vick for killing dogs. Like, they, but what did Mike Vick do? He took accountability. He owned his actions, and he did things to try to reverse a lot of the things that he did. I do think people would work toward, in the future, not immediate, time heals everything, he would get some leeway from people if he would just admit some things, but he seems unwilling to admit a single thing. It's looming. It's making him look worse. Accepting zero responsibility, and you don't even have to say, I did anything illegal, I did anything wrong. You can just say the situations, the misconceptions. He won't do any of that, and it just looks really, really bad. And then the Browns and the way they came out after that, and Jimmy and D. Haslam, who, again, were talking about second chances, which I believe, but the way they framed the second chance narrative and how they almost like use Kareem Hunt's situation as an example of people needing second chances when that's not the same situation whatsoever. Mm-mm. Like, I do believe Deshaun, if he's not criminally convicted of something, deserves a second chance. But what accountability are you going to take for the things that transpired and the perception these women had about what you did and the massage stuff? And, like, even just coming out, Brad, and saying, hey, I got a sexual fetish with massage parlor stuff. Like, that is in and of itself something people would work toward understanding, because, you know, addiction to sexual stuff is an addiction to drugs. It's all out there. It's real. They have rehabilitation for these things, and, like, but he won't do it. And it's like, okay, this guy, you're telling me this guy who I thought was a really thoughtful interview for years, go up there, talk about schemes, give people personable answers. Is this just robot now who will never admit that he had any part in the wrongdoing here, will just apologize to all women because this situation triggers a situation that could have impacted other women? Like, I just don't see it. And if this is what it's going to be for the next 5 to 10 years with him, it's really hard to ever support the person. It's hard to get there, because I just don't see it unless some gigantic expose comes out that explains his side. There is no side of Watson's story because we've never been given it. How are we supposed to believe these women are lying without ever knowing why or how they lied? We don't know. So there is no other side. Like, I just don't get it, Brad. How is the public supposed to consume this? It's bizarre, man.
It is. I thought coming off of the apology with Aditi to today, it was very manipulative of him and his camp, right? The way they phrased it with Aditi, and I know they have to be careful with their phrasing and their verbiage, right? Because there still is a case out there and you still don't want to, right? But, like, it was manipulative language. I'm sorry that my decisions have affected these women. So there's my decisions, right? Was what the way he phrased it with Aditi. Yeah,
there was accountability transition, there.
Yes, some accountability there. But transition to today, I'm sorry that anyone was offended or triggered by what happened, all of this stuff, right? So now he's transitioned to not taking accountability, and basically he's just sorry if anybody's feelings got hurt and all this. It's basically kind of how it sounded, right? Or got triggered is such a bad word for them to use. And it's the second time, Jake, that they've used that. They used it in a written public release from the Browns.
Yeah.
Me and Jared talked about this. Of all words to use in this scenario, trigger is not a good one. And they did it in a
like
public
a mocking word. It just feels
it
like
does.
It's turned into society as this mocking type word. And listen, I'm not on the cancel culture. I don't think you are either. I try to see the nuance in everything. And again, you can say, well, he doesn't have to be politically correct. It's his life, whatever, whatever. But to not even remotely recognize that your decisions could have led to this misconception. All it needs to be is, hey, man, I went there. These certain things transpired. What I thought was wrong was not the same as what they thought was wrong. There was a misconception there. I now see their point. I didn't do anything criminal, but I see their point. That's all you have to do. Just denying and thinking that your thing, the way you've done it and how you've done it, is just okay, normal, is not right.
There's no way that I believe, Jake, that the Browns PR team and Watson's camp said, yeah, go ahead and say I stand on my innocence up here today, because that phrasing is awful. Like, there had to be a phrase like today. You're going to get asked some really tough questions, but here's a phrase we want you to revert to that takes responsibility, but still gives you some of like, yeah, I still believe that like some of this wasn't right, like all on me. And there is a phrase there like, listen, I made some mistakes in my decision making. I now understand what I did and how it could have been interpreted differently. And I am going to take the counseling seriously to move on from this and learn from this experience. And anytime they ask you a hard question, go right back to that statement. Go right back to that statement. Keep going to that statement. I understand. And I'm going to take this counseling serious and learn from this situation and move on from it.
He's almost offended. The vibe I get is that he's offended he has to answer these questions to the point that he shuts down. Like, he's not a robot in any of the interviews I've seen of him in Texans, in the Houston days. He's not. And for him to be so robotic and say these weird things, it gives me an arrogant vibe that he doesn't think he should, A, be in the situation, and B, have to answer questions on it and admit that he has any issue or was a part of any of the problem. It comes off as the interview with Aditi, as you said, Brad, was a message laid to the NFL about being willing to make a deal here. And it just today was 15 steps in the direction that I did not expect. I was sitting there watching it on NFL Network with my mouth open.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe the way they were framing it from his perspective. And if they didn't do their homework with him and just sent him up there, then shame on them. If they did their homework and they talked through it ahead of time and they agreed that saying stand on my innocence and it triggered other people, I'm sorry if it triggered you, like, bigger shame on them. And I guess maybe, Brad, maybe they don't care. I don't know. I don't know what other conclusion I can come up with, and that maybe they flat out don't care.
And I feel like
that could be the thing too with all of this, because I don't know what other way you could get there. We're dumb people. We are average people. We just I just don't see how you could sit in a meeting room with either Watson's representatives or his guys and be like, this is okay. We believe you that you didn't do it. But do you see, Deshaun, how you could maybe frame this as understanding the misinterpretation between what happened from your eyes in that room and what happened from their eyes? That's all you have to say. Even the people who have done some gnarly things, and I've pointed back to the Kobe Bryant scenario many times, he at least even recognized after this whole thing was over, I see now where she was coming from and how it could have been a different view of the events of that evening than what I thought. That's all you had to do, and he wouldn't do it. So I just am left to be a little bit hopeless that he's going to show remorse, take accountability, move forward. And as he's moving forward, which I do agree, everybody does have to move forward. I just get worried that there's never going to be, for me, an enjoyment of the person at quarterback. That kind of sucks. I was holding off on that, that we could find a way to get there. I don't have that hope anymore. I'm strictly separating my coverage of the Cleveland Browns from my enjoyment of pulling for the people. Now, there are a lot of people to pull for in Cleveland Browns as people. It's one person. I get it. It's one person. I have a lot of great guys. But this individual person who's the forefront of your team and the guy who's up there getting interviewed when the biggest moments happen, it's really hard to be like, I'm excited for that guy. What a journey. You know what I mean? And that stuff kind of does matter at some point.
Yeah, it does. You know what it felt like, Jake? It felt like he went rogue today. It felt like the settlement was over, and he got up there, and all the talking points they had covered, he said, screw it, I'm going to go back to my original, because this is really the way I feel. And he went rogue from his PR team and anybody else that had coached him prior. That's what it felt like. And then to hear the Haslams, Jake, standing there with Andrew Berry, which is a weird combination, kind of talking over each other. First of all, Jimmy Haslam should not speak in those situations. Just let Dee speak, because she actually speaks rather eloquently. But they put that, he put them in a tough spot, because then they're getting asked about the stuff that he just said about his innocence and all that. And Dee's trying to say, explain how at the beginning of counseling, you don't always know and understand, and that's why you go to counseling, so you can understand what you did wrong and process. And I get where she's going with that, but she shouldn't have to be explaining that. At least she's making some sense. And then you've got Jimmy saying, well, you know, well, he's, it wouldn't be like this second chances wise if he wasn't a quarterback in the NFL, but he is. So, you know, he makes a little joke about, like, so he does get it. Like, total ridiculousness, talking over each other. Like, Jimmy, shut up, let Dee speak. She's trying to cover up for the mistakes that Watson, you know, made in his presser. She tried her best to channel it to counseling, right?
Yeah.
Like, channel it through, like, listen, he doesn't get it all the way yet, but he will by the time he's done with the counseling. And everybody needs to go through this process of learning and taking responsibility is kind of how she pointed it, right? And she did an okay job with it, but Jimmy was a hack up there. And then Andrew Berry gets asked the question, you know, would you do all this again? And I thought that he at least did a pretty good job of stating, yes, as an organization, we would do this again. You know,
what's he supposed to say? No.
Yeah, we regret this.
I thought that the media did a great job. The people there asking questions did a pretty great job of being like, are you saying what you think we think you're saying? They pushed him on it, and then they pushed the Haslams on it too. So I don't have an issue with that. But like to your point there about that question, I mean, somebody, it was all over social because why wouldn't it be? But what do you expect him to say? Like, nah, we wouldn't, you know, we're kind of really regretting this decision right now. And we would not do it again, given the, and it's like, well, you got Watson's here. You got to deal with it. And you go into these things saying like, I get it going into this. You believe him. He's saying he's innocent. You believe him, but you can have a really conversation tied to, hey man, how do we improve your public image? Like you can have that conversation about, how do we maintain your innocence but improve your image? I'll tell you what, saying I stand on my innocence is not going to portray well. It seems like to me there was no homework done. It's a failure in every sense. There was no homework done is one option, or they didn't prepare for what the things were going to be said and sorts of things were going to be said. And they didn't practice it and they didn't hone it, because these questions are not unpredictable. They're very predictable.
No, they are.
You know, so those things were elements are there, or B, they just said, hey man, go up there and say what you want. And yeah, both of which are a failure. It's a failure. Yep. So I don't know, man. What you leave thinking is Deshaun Watson got everything that he wanted. He got out of this situation with a settlement. He got out of these situations with a suspension that didn't last a year. He doesn't lose much money. And it doesn't seem like Deshaun Watson has learned much at this point. It really doesn't. And I have no other answer. I don't know you could get to any other answer than that. He doesn't feel like he has any remorse. He doesn't feel like he has any lessons learned from right now other than this happened to me. I got away with it or whatever. I got through it, and now I'm just going to live out my football life. And, you know, I get that we got to move forward here, but for him to take pretty much zero accountability on any role in this other than to just say, I'm sorry the situation triggered some women, is really disappointing beyond the already disappointing things that we've seen. But, again, to my point, I'm done with the topic, Brad. It's over. I've covered it. If something major happens in the coming months and years, we'll revisit it. But I'm tired of devoting podcasts to Deshaun. He now has showed us through multiple interviews who he is. So my expectations, I think, were off originally about what I thought he was going to say, how I thought he was going to handle all of this. I now know what the baseline is for him, so I know what to expect. I will cover him a certain way. I will do my best to keep things narrow and focused to the field because that's what my podcast focuses on. And I just see nothing to be gained by continuing to lecture on this. So I'm over it. I'm through it. You know my stance on where this sits. I'm more than willing still, if a guy can show true remorse and actions that tie to it, to give anybody in their life a second chance. But for now, I'm just left with a massive shoulder shrug, and I just don't feel like it's going to turn the corner. So I kind of we're 30 minutes in, and I feel good about what we've said, how we've said it. I'm ready to bury any more dedicated shows to Deshaun Watson off the field. So I don't know where you are, but I'll close with that on my end. So any other closing remarks from you, Brad?
No, I mean, I'm right there with you. I will continue to you know, obviously pay attention to him on the field and off the field in hopes that, you know, D's right. And I hope he does take the counseling and the work off the field seriously, and maybe he will realize some of this stuff and do some growing up. And I'm not saying he's guilty. I'm just saying at the very least, he's guilty of poor decision-making, and he needs to at least understand the ramifications of everything that he's gone through here and not just blindly and egotistically walk through this as if he did nothing wrong. And so I would be very happy, and I hope he takes the counseling and the off-the-field work seriously, because if he does, there's a lot that he could probably learn there and that he could gain some understanding. He's not a dumb guy. He's an intelligent man. He should get it. So I hope that he comes out the other side better, and I'll continue to look for that. And like you said, you know, I'm all for second chances and sometimes third chances and whatever, right? I mean, you can overcome these things. I hope he does. As for me, you know, like you said, I'm turning towards the football field. I want to talk about this team, and we have some framework to build off of, right? We know. You know, it doesn't sound like Jimmy G's coming to town. It's going to be Brissett for 11 and Watson for 5. We're going to figure it out and go from there, right?
We'll go from there. We'll deal with it when we deal with it. I'm sure Brad and I will cover the 11 games, the records to expect, and all of that in the coming days, tie it back to the football field now. Move on from it, Barry. The topic is over. That is it for today's episode. Thanks for stopping by. I appreciate Brad Ward's time, as always, very, very much. So shout out to you, Brad. And for you guys checking out this show on whatever platform you check it out on, make sure if you're a listener to the OBR Film Breakdown, you check out All Eyes on Cleveland, and vice versa for All Eyes on Cleveland fans to check out the OBR Film Breakdown. We are a Blue Wire company. We are supported by those folks over there. They do a great job. Continue to support their other podcasts. Thanks for checking out today's episode. We'll be back with some Eagles-Browns content in the coming days over the weekend, and be ready for that 1 o'clock game that we will be live through the OBR on playback. So check that out. Appreciate you guys. Have a great day. Go Browns.